Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Band, a podcast about bands you probably don't even like.
We hope you don't know this one.
With your hosts, Adam Todd Brown, Andy Sell, and Travis Clark.
Oh, well, hey, everybody. Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Band, a podcast about bands you may or may not like. I am Adam Todd Brown. Who else is here as other hosts?
Oi, I'm Travis the full fucking package, isn't it, Clark?
Andy? Oh. Andy is here, but he's very jealous that he didn't get to partake in what me and Travis did last week, so he's probably not going to talk.
Yes, for this episode, Andy is, and he didn't go.
Ooh, burn. Because here's the thing, me and Travis, we went to see Oasis then, in it, bruv.
Oh, saw them lads, wore the bucket hats, didn't we?
We saw our kid.
We did see our kid. You know what I was thinking? I don't know if anybody else has had this thought. I watched that Robbie Williams movie not that long ago where he's a monkey.
Very much want to see that.
And actually, Oasis has a small, not Oasis, Oasis is represented in that movie because I guess Robbie is like trying to talk to him about playing Nibworth, isn't it? And the more I was watching Liam at that concert, the more I'm like, if anybody should be portrayed by a monkey, it's Liam Gallagher. He is simian very much.
He's such a fun front man, though.
He is. But with those cheekbones that he has and the stage lighting, he looked more like the 2D singer of Gorillaz than the actual drawing of 2D from Gorillaz.
Well, he kind of moves like a fucking ape on stage, too.
If an ape knew how to do the blessing. He kept doing the cross. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was weird. That was weird. I liked when they played Whatever, and he goes, this is called Whatever. And then he just starts going, Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. And waving his hand, Whatever. It was great. It was great. So yeah, we went to see Oasis. I remember when we first got tickets, there was all this talk about how hard tickets were going to be to get. And I feel like it was kind of effortless. We just waited and there were tickets available.
Yeah, we were texting each other. I'm this number in line. It was like we were racing to get to the virtual queue to get the tickets.
Yeah.
And I remembered us scoring slightly better tickets than we had. I'm glad we went. I'm glad I got to go. But I did not remember us being essentially on the side of the Rose Bowl.
Okay, I agree. I did not think our tickets were that far up.
I didn't either.
Because it's a stadium show, so we're all just going to be looking at the screen no matter what. Unless you're one of these maniacs who's on the floor front of the stage sobbing because Noel Gallagher's on stage. Okay. But yeah, otherwise, I knew it was going to be a look at the screen sitch, but I feel like our tickets were not row 74.
Yeah, that was super surprising when I got there. And we were on the opposite side of where the box seats are, and it just looked like a glorious condo across the way from us. And I was like, well, we should be over there where there's refrigeration and snacks.
Yeah, our seats, getting to them was a challenge because row 74, thankfully we didn't have to walk 74 rows, but at the point where you walk in and start heading up, it's row 30.
Yeah.
So we had to traverse 43 rows. For some reason, I just kept using the same leg.
Oh, that's going to add up.
And by the end, I was almost dead. Yeah.
Yeah, it was almost one of those in hiking. It's called an alpine start where you start it in the dark, you know, to try and make the summit by sunrise because the sun was going down as we were, you know, coming in. And I was like, oh, this feels like one of the crazy hikes I go on where it's like, yeah, I got to start at 2 a.m. if I want this to happen.
But speaking of crazy hikes, we had to get to the Rose Bowl first.
Yeah, for a place that's been around for a century, they have not figured out how to make that easily accessible to people.
No, I've always considered Dodger Stadium one of the worst venues to attend a thing at in LA.
And this Rose Bowl so said, hold my rose. Yes. I have an idea for you. Yeah.
The Rose Bowl is so much worse. I know you ended up just driving and parking.
Well, driving to where my parking space wasn't that bad. I bought parking on StubHub.
Jesus.
Because I was like, I was just going to do this early. And so I bought parking at like a Wells Fargo building, like,
oh yeah,
a mile and a half away from it. And I was like, fuck it, we'll just walk it. And that was fine going there because I got pretty fresh legs at that point. But after the whole night, walking back through Pasadena with no streetlights, it was very confusing. At one point, we literally were on a trail because I'm like, it's saying we have to go this way. And my wife, Brandy, was like, no, we're not going to go on a hike. And I'm like, this is where it says to go. And we cut through this dirt path. I mean, luckily, like other people were doing it, but if other people weren't doing it, I'd have been like, I don't know what we're doing here. But it wasn't the same way we walked back.
That's weird.
We walked there. We walked an entirely different way back. It was bedlam.
Yeah. Me and the wife, we live in the South Bay, so kind of deep South Los Angeles. So we were going back and forth about what the best way to get there was going to be. And I think we actually figured out a workable solution. We drove to downtown LA and parked at a parking garage half a block from the train that goes to the Rose Bowl from the train station. So we park there, get on this one train. It takes like 30 minutes and then you're at the Rose Bowl. So parking was easy. It's just once you get off that train park and you have to get to the Rose Bowl. Oh my God.
Yeah. LA public transit is like, well, we've done our part.
Yes.
Everything else is up to you now.
You're not our responsibility anymore. Get out of here.
We got you close enough. You figure it out, kid.
Yeah, they have a shuttle that goes from where people park to the Rose Bowl, and it seems like unmitigated chaos.
Yeah, so much so that there is a secondary market of other people who will take you to the Rose Bowl that vary from Uber drivers to dudes with light up fairy wings and massive trikes with a bench on the back who taunt you as you're walking.
Oh, I almost got hit by one.
Well,
yeah.
And they all had like brony mohawks, you know, I don't know if they were all like the same group, like if it was a cult, like if it's a,
yeah, they that's were part weird.
Of what you have to do. Yeah. I don't know. They all have the same haircut, but like the one guy, he tried to get us to join in and he was like blasting Stone Temple Pilots. And I was like, you got the year right, but the wrong vibe for where we're going, but okay. And then as we're walking, he's like, you still got at least a mile, probably 25 more minutes. We're like, fuck off, dude.
It's like, so what?
Yeah.
We ended up, because when we were walking to the shuttle, all we were hearing was 2 hour wait for the shuttle. It's like, well, I'm not doing that for what Google Maps told me was a 35 minute walk. So I was like,
yeah, Google Maps is a shit fucking judge of time.
Yeah. Google Maps for walking directions is hell on earth.
They're like, it's five blocks. It's going to take you the better part of a week.
Yeah.
You're like, no, it's not. It's five blocks.
But so we ended up using one of those secondary market vehicles because, and this is a tip, if you're ever going to the Rose Bowl, when you get off public transit or when you park, there's going to be all these Uber drivers and limo drivers and things lined up. You can negotiate with them as far as prices, and they will drive you right to the front of the Rose Bowl. And the way me and my wife did it, we teamed up with three other people who were also walking, and this driver,
and you stole a car and you were like, fuck yeah, this is how we do it.
Killed a guy. Yeah.
Jesus.
No, the guy agreed to do it for $20 per person. So I know that sounds like a lot if you're listening to this and let's say you live in a normal place where you can just go to events.
Leave. You can just show up at the venue like a person.
Yeah. I went to a baseball game in Kansas City once and it was like, no, I actually died and now I'm in heaven's version of baseball, right? That's what happened because this is ideal.
I don't want to pile on to the whole, you know, fuck California thing that you hear the right wingers doing.
But here goes.
But here we go. I've been to other cities as an adult and the fact that you could take public transit directly to the airport and it's not some kind of black market illegal thing that you're doing and you could get to the airport and my flight's at 1 o'clock, I'm going to get there at 12:30 if that's enough time, and you're not going to be like, oh fuck, every other city is so much easier.
Yeah, I was in Minneapolis a couple years back and we were staying in Bloomington, which is where the Mall of America is, and they have a train that goes right into the heart of downtown Minneapolis from Bloomington. So we got on that train, and the last three stops are just all of the major sports stadiums right in a row.
Dude.
You just get off and you're right there. It's magic.
Well, Boston and Chicago, I believe, both, you can take the train into the airport. The airport is a stop. Whereas here, we're like, this is kind of like the Rose Bowl. This is as far as we can take you. You're on your own.
Yeah, there's, I believe it's Midway Airport. Might be O'Hare, one of the two. But you can just fly in, park, and get a train straight to a Cubs game from the airport. Here, oh man, everywhere is a nightmare to get to here.
No joke. If I'm like, oh, I need to go to the grocery store is, I don't know, a mile and a half away. I'm like, well, that's going to take a half an hour. That's when Google Maps is right. If you're on foot, it doesn't get it. If it's like, oh, I need to go a place that's not that far, they're like, it's going to take you a half hour. You're like, yep, yes, it is.
Yeah, so
we had to record early today because I have to go to Culver City at noon, which means I got to leave as soon as we finish recording. It's 7 in the morning right now.
Yeah. Travis has a 4-hour drive to Culver City ahead of him. Yeah, everywhere is hard to get to in LA. So when I say the Rose Bowl is probably the worst in terms of those places, I'm saying a lot because there are some very tricky venues. The Greek, I don't know the last time you've been to the Greek.
It's been a while. And what I remember about the Greek is if you get there early enough, you can get good enough parking. But that means you're not leaving till everyone else who came in after you did.
Right. Yeah.
You're stuck there. Getting there early, you're the first one in and the last one out.
Yeah. But the Rose Bowl, oh, it's a whole other thing.
And the other thing, too, that's crazy about it, it's deep into Blue Blood Pasadena. And there's a lot of very expensive houses around there.
Yeah.
And if I paid multi-millions of dollars, assuming I bought the house new, and I lived next to a place that was constantly either having a sporting event or a concert with fireworks, with 90,000 strangers walking through my neighborhood at all hours of the night, I would be furious.
Yeah, I feel like you almost have to want to live by the Rose Bowl if you live by the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I feel like if you're super wealthy, you're like, I might go to the Rose Bowl a couple of times a year. Let's buy a house close to the Rose Bowl so that we have a place to go.
Yeah, that was one of the things that struck me about getting to and leaving the Rose Bowl. That's where UCLA plays football. So there are people doing that several weeks out of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Why?
I have a buddy and I love him dearly. He's always asking me if I want to go see a football game at the Rose Bowl. And one, if you don't know much about me, I'm not really a sports guy. But two, yeah, I don't know. I don't know the next time I need to go to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't do what the Hollywood Bowl does. The Hollywood Bowl fucking gets it. I used to hate the Hollywood Bowl until I found out they have shuttles all over LA. I can get on a Hollywood Bowl shuttle down here where I live, and I get to the Hollywood Bowl in like 45 minutes. That's crazy.
And I can jump on a train, get off, and yeah, it's a walk, but I mean, it's less than I walked to get to the Rose Bowl. I can get out and walk up to the bowl. Hey, everybody, who we seeing tonight? Get back on the train, get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, it's a whole different fucking adventure. So we got to the Rose Bowl, me and Angie, I mean, because me and Travis went separately. I don't know how close you think podcast hosts are, but we don't live together or anything.
Not anymore. We're in a separation.
Yeah,
You know, we're working it out.
We're seeing other hosts, you know.
Yeah, we are.
You know how it goes. So me and Angie got there not super early, but doors weren't open yet. And our first instinct was, okay, well, there's the line to get in. Let's go stand in it. Because if nothing else, we deeply respect authority. So we're standing in this line. I'm like, this is where I die because it's very hot. It's very sunny. I'm baking. And then eventually a Rose Bowl employee walks up to the line and starts shouting and goes, you're all standing in a line that wraps around the block for no reason. There are four other entrances. And I appreciated that.
I appreciate it too. But if for some reason you're listening to this and you're like, why are they harping on this Rose Bowl thing so much? The Rose Bowl texted and emailed us endlessly saying, parking's going to sell out. Parking is fucked. everything is fucked. This show is sold out. You need to get here fucking early. You need to leave the day before to make sure you're there in time. We were getting emails the day before saying, show up at 2:30 is what it was telling us to do for a fucking concert where the doors didn't open until 6 or 7.
I can't remember. 5:30. Because there was a band on at 6. I know nothing about them. I didn't hear any of it.
I think it was just a sound check for them. I'm not sure anybody was able to get in to see a 6 o'clock band play.
Yeah. But so what we ended up doing, and I somehow just had this idea on the fly, and it is a technique I'm going to employ forevermore if I'm at an event where there are several long lines. Instead of standing in the end of one of these lines in the sun, we just posted up in the shade and waited for the end of one of the lines to get to where we were. And by the time that happened, that line was fucking cooking and we got in really quick.
You know, Adam did get there ahead of me and he was sending me basically scouting reports. Like, here's what it's like.
Yeah.
And I got like a video of the line wrapping around the block that he was talking about before the Rose Bowl employee told him, what the fuck are you people doing? And I was like, oh my God, I don't even know if we're going to see Oasis. I think we're just going to park, walk and wait. I think that's all we're going to do. And we'll be listening to them outside. I thought there was going to be no way that we actually got in time to see the band. But then when you were like, I'm reverse waiting in line, I'm like, I don't know what that means. But then you explained it to me and I'm like, that's the move. You wait for the end to come to you. Well, don't stand in the sun all day like some kind of field worker. Yeah.
Perfect. And I feel like it made the rest of the night better because if we had been standing in the hot sun that whole time, we would have been tired as soon as we got in. And instead it was, you know, pretty relaxing.
So, since you took a car in, did you miss all of the bootleggers on the way who just yell what they have at you?
Kind of. We saw some of them outside the stadium, but yeah, we didn't make the walk to the Rose Bowl. So yeah, we missed a lot of that.
It's wild, man. Like when I was a kid, like a teenager, back when Yarno and I were first going to concerts together.
Sure.
There was one guy that you would see at every show and he just seemed like he was maybe mentally unstable, but he was a drug dealer and he would just walk by and go, shroom hash opium, shroom hash opium. And he would say it really fast so that you weren't sure what he was saying unless he walked right by you. But now the people who are selling stuff just scream what they have. There was just one lady who just went, hat, and she was holding a bunch of hats. So you're like, oh, I guess she's selling those hats.
I'm not going to lie. If I walked past someone who was screaming, opium, 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 I would have bought some. I've never tried opium. I bet it's great.
I haven't seen the shroom hash opium guy for a long time. I don't know if he's still with us. Or maybe he's retired from that particular line of work.
That guy rules.
He was pretty great.
Opium. So yeah, we finally get inside. I did notice outside the stadium, there were a couple street vendors selling the Danger Dogs. And that blew my mind because for me, just getting to the Rose Bowl with the stuff I had in my pockets was a challenge. These people are bringing griddles and fucking propane tanks. How are they getting there? God damn.
There were people selling shots along the way too.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny because it was like they kept having this Don Julio bottle displayed up top. And I'm like, that probably contained Don Julio at one point. I'm not sure what's in there now.
Yeah. And it's surprising that that is legal. I mean, I doubt
there's no way.
I doubt it is. Yeah. But I mean, credit to the cops for not harassing them, I guess.
They couldn't get there. They had no way to go. It's a lawless land.
Yeah, you're on your own if something jumps up. You might as well be in international waters at the fucking Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody here watched the crime series The Wire, but they made one block of Baltimore where everything was legal. So it was like prostitution and drugs were legal, and they called it New Hamsterdam.
Yeah.
That's basically the Rose Bowl. Everything is legal within like a quarter mile radius of the Rose Bowl because you just can't get in there to police anything.
Yeah. So we finally get inside. Worth mentioning, the Rose Bowl, more than 100 years old.
Yep.
Feels like it hasn't been renovated since.
I would disagree. There were QR codes on our bench where we sat.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was making those jokes with my wife when we first got there. Like, can you believe that video board's more than 100 years old? How did they fucking do that?
Yeah, this was the world's first Jumbotron.
Yeah, nuts. That's American innovation for you, baby. So yeah, we get inside the Rose Bowl. No signs to speak of. The seating system is very confusing. We were in section 9L, and there's no sign that says 9L.
Nope.
I think that just meant left.
I don't know what it meant. The number of times I had to go and show my phone to somebody who I just assumed worked there. Like, where is this?
Yeah.
I had to keep pointing at it. And to their credit, they all knew. But walking there, I saw more signage that I was walking towards the Rose Bowl than I saw of where to go now that I'm at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. 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 It's a confusing place. I am going to be honest. When I decided, as sort of a goof almost, to wear a Shakira concert t-shirt to Oasis. And I don't know why, but I really underestimated how many Spanish speakers were going to be in the audience.
I would say that the audience of that Oasis concert that we went to, there was no single demographic. It was all over the place.
Yeah.
Like you had, you know, flat bill dudes who soup up cars. You got people who speak other languages. You got people who are teenagers. It's all over the place. It was a cornucopia of the city.
Yeah. And that Shakira shirt made me feel like a minor celebrity for a little bit.
Did you get a lot of?
I was getting some looks. I was getting some comments. It was great. So we get inside. We have to walk up to our seat that, as we've discussed, almost killed me. It was a very long walk. And then I get up there and there is this old man, and I can call him an old man because I'm almost 50. And this guy clearly had a couple decades on me.
Yeah. If it was the guy who was sitting behind you, that was a man who his youth had passed. Even in the 80s, he was older.
And he was one of those people who thinks he's just friendly and outgoing, but he's actually just a dick.
Mm.
And I knew that almost immediately because he keys in on the fact that I'm wearing a Shakira shirt. And he at one point literally said, well, you just don't usually see a man wearing a Shakira shirt. And I was like, OK, you're fun. This is going to be great. So we start talking about music and he's like, I'm here to see Cage the Elephant. I don't even know Oasis. And I was like, OK, cool flex. Old
Were
man.
You living inside of a deprivation chamber?
Yeah.
Not being a fan of Oasis, fine, but 90,000 people bought tickets to come here. It's not like there's some unknown band that is finally touring America.
And he absolutely knew Oasis. Yeah. He was just being a cunt.
He was crying during Wonderwall, so fuck him.
And then when he's going on this rant about Oasis, he goes, you know, back in the 80s, we had Dylan and Springsteen and Bowie. And by that point, I was highly frustrated, so I just stopped him and said, hey, they were all playing synthesizers and singing about Jesus in the 80s.
And how did that go over?
He didn't like it.
He didn't.
He didn't like it.
He was not talking to you when I showed up. So
No.
Yeah.
I effectively shut him down. By the end of the night, he was back to yelling Shakira at me, but everyone hated him by then, so it was fine.
What a strange... The people that he picked to be like, we had these in the 80s. I'm like, yes, but they had adjusted to the 80s. They were not of the 80s. Very few people would say, man, you know, my favorite Dylan album came out in 1982.
Nope.
No, that's not.
Dylan was trash in the 80s. I would argue Springsteen was kind of trash in the 80s. Granted, his commercial peak, Born in the USA, is a massively overrated album. And also, when I mentioned everyone was playing keyboards and shit in the 80s, he goes, I didn't see Bowie doing that. And I was like, have you seen the video for Dancing in the Street?
Yeah.
That is David Bowie and Mick Jagger making out, essentially.
And that video makes no sense. I think they got two guys who are riding the peak of whatever high they were on. They're like, guys, we have to make a music video. And they're like, great, let's do a Carole King song.
Is that a Carole King song?
Yes, it is.
Wow. I did not know that.
Unless I'm wrong. Am I wrong? Let me see. I hate to be wrong.
No.
It's Martha Reeves and the Vandellas song. Vandellas.
Yeah, it was written by Marvin Gaye.
Yeah. So, yeah. Very
close. I'm thinking of... You were close.
I'm thinking of Funky Town. So, pardon my confusion.
Same thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, the old guy, he was a pain in the ass, but that didn't last long. We got really lucky in that the two people sitting next to my wife, maybe even three people, were just there to see Cage the Elephant. And they fucking bailed after that. So we got extra leg room and that was nice.
That worked out great for you guys. I'm just trying to understand the mindset of those people. There has to be an easier and cheaper way to see just Cage the Elephant.
I can't name a Cage the Elephant song, and I've seen them in concert 3 times.
Oh, they got the No Rest for the Wicked. They got the...
Yeah, I know they're a band.
I know a bunch of... I actually was surprised. I was like, oh, I know that song. Oh, I know that song. Oh, I know that song.
Yeah, they were great. This is the first time I've seen Cage the Elephant and actually paid attention. Because the last time, Portugal the Man was opening for them at the Shrine.
Oh, cool.
And I watched Portugal the Man, then just went backstage and hung out with them. So I didn't see Cage the Elephant. And they were also at a music festival I went to in like 2014 or something. But I didn't remember them from that. So this was the first time I actually paid attention. And they're a pretty great band.
They are, but a lot of people don't know the lead singer is Cage and the band is the Elephant. So that's what people, yeah, people don't know that. It's like a Hootie and the Blowfish kind of situation.
That makes sense. Yeah. Because Hootie, famously, his name is actually Hootie.
Yeah, that's his name. He's Hootie and the band is the Blowfish.
Yeah. Hootie Johnson.
I don't know why that tickled me so much, but Hootie Johnson. If someone came up to you and was like, Hootie Johnson, you'd go, I'm sorry, what? For real? That's your name?
Yeah, you can't have a first name like Hootie and a last name like Johnson. Yeah. You need to be Hootie Wozniacki or something.
Yeah. Hold on. I feel like Hootie is a young man's name, you know? Now that you're older, you go by your full name, Hootith, you know, or whatever it is.
Please, Hootie was my father.
Call me Mr. Blowfish.
So the Oasis show finally starts. This place was such chaos. My wife went out to use the bathroom before Oasis started, and I eventually got a text saying I'm not going to be back in by the time Oasis starts.
Yeah, it was, well, we don't know if we're going to get her back, you know?
Yeah. And she made it, but just barely. I think Fucking in the Bushes was playing as she walked back in.
What's wild is, you know, they have this really great graphics that goes on and there's a lot of live switching and graphics going. For one point, I was like, whoever's doing this is masterful. This is really well done.
Yeah.
But it starts off with probably a quarter of a mile wide. It says, this is not a drill. And you're like, yeah, that's what it felt like to get here. It felt like some evacuation.
Yeah. Whatever is starting has started.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, we were talking about it a little before we started recording, but I've seen Oasis. This, I think, is the fourth time I've seen them. Because I've seen them twice in, yes, I've seen them 4 times. I saw them twice in small-ish clubs when they were still touring the States, but their popularity had fallen way off. Which, that is one of the most surprising things about this to me. They were never a stadium band in the United States, but I think what they're doing is what bands are moving toward now, where instead of, all right, well, we're an arena band, so let's do 25 arena dates in the United States. Instead, they're like, well, we never tour, so people are going to come see us. They're going to travel.
Right.
So let's do 1 or 2 shows in a big city and just make everyone come to us. And it worked. They sold out the Rose Bowl 2 nights in a row.
Yeah, I was doing the math on it. I don't even know what the average ticket price is, but if you imagine it's $100, it's probably higher. It's $9 million a show. Granted, there's overhead and you got to pay everybody and pay all, you know.
But still.
Jesus.
And that was my thought when people were like, do you think they're going to actually stay together long enough to tour?
Okay, I said that and that's not how I talk.
Really? Because I felt like I did a good Travis thing.
That's pretty good. It's pretty close.
And that was my thought, was there's way too much money on the table for them to not be able to survive what I think is going to end up being like 20 shows total around the world. Like,
yeah,
they're not going to fucking blow that. And it seemed like they were getting along great.
Yeah. It's funny how $9 million a night will do that for you.
Yeah.
You
know? They fucking hugged at the beginning of the show.
There's numerous people I would spend a lot of time around if you gave me $9 million.
Yeah. No shit. But their sound, I think, is ideal for stadiums. That's the best they've sounded to me, which is nuts because I normally don't expect a venue like that to have good audio quality. But the way their sound works, it's like this wave of sound that comes at you and you need room for it to circulate.
And they were dialed in. And the only thing close to something similar, I'm not saying close in terms of band, but close in terms of size, that I've been to recently is when Adam and I went to see Metallica a couple of years ago.
Oh, sure.
And that sound was not as good and Metallica does not play through amps anymore. Whereas the Oasis stage is littered with amplifiers, and there's like now three guitar players in Oasis. Was it like that when you've seen them in the past?
Yeah, it was actually mostly the original lineup. I was surprised by that.
Except the drummer seemed to have been a local boy.
Yeah, the drummer, yeah. I don't remember who their original drummer was, but it later was Zach Starkey, Ringo Starr's kid.
Oh, doesn't he famously get fired out of every band he's in?
Yeah, he just got fired.
From The Who, right?
The Who, yeah. Gets fired all the time. Yeah, and he used to be in Oasis. I did not know they have a guitar player who I have called Gem Archer for his entire life. Gem is how you pronounce that.
Oh.
Gem. And here's the thing. No, I don't. I still call him Gem.
Yeah, you can just call him whatever you want.
Should have corrected me a long time ago, bub.
The thing that was just wild, though, was it sounded better than the record because you're getting that live element of it. At no point where you're like, oh, they're playing to a track or, oh, that kind of fucked up. Noel is no joke. The two takeaways I had from that when I was watching them, my first thought while I was watching the show was, which Gallagher brother haircut should I get? I wasn't sure. No, I haven't decided. Sure. And then the second thing I thought was, I really need a Les Paul. I don't have one. I had one like 20 years ago, but Noel made me go, no, I need a Les Paul. I need one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. They, in terms of performance, sound, everything, you're right. They were fucking firing on all cylinders. I mean, they haven't played together in a long time. They sound like a band that's excited to be back together.
Well, even Liam posted on Threads, by the way, follow me on Threads at Track Rivals. I'm really doing well on there for some reason.
Nice.
That makes no sense. But I saw that Liam posted like, I'll do it all again, wouldn't I? Or something like that. Like, he's having a blast.
Yeah.
And I really did think, I was like, these two brothers famously fucking hate each other or are combative with each other. And it seems like they're really enjoying it. And man, Liam's fucking funny.
He's
a funny fucking dude. I don't know what he said, but he's really like, it comes across as funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what he said? Did he tell a story about meeting a shark, or is that what I think he said?
I could not make heads or tails of that story.
I couldn't either.
And then he did a callback to it after the next song.
Yeah.
And said something about, that's how the shark was walking.
Yeah.
What?
He was like, I got that he was in Santa Monica. I got that he went in the ocean. And then he met something, either a person or a shark, that said, oi, Mr. Gallagher. And he said, please, it's Liam. That was the last thing I understood. That's the last thing I understood. And then he started moving like the shark. And then, or the person, I don't know. I don't know what was happening. I know I was like, this is amusing. I like this. This definitely feels like a joke, but it's much of the way someone's, you know, English sounds like this. You're like, that's funny. That is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I love Liam as a front man. He's almost an anti-front man because I personally think over the past 15, 20 years, Scott Weiland might have been the best front man in rock.
Peak Weiland, yeah. Towards the end of his career, I think he was having some trouble being a front man. Yeah.
But if you ever saw him at his peak or in his prime, Scott Weiland could fucking own a stage. And so does Liam Gallagher, but they do it in completely different ways.
Very much so.
Scott Weiland is bouncing all over the place and doing weird little dances. When it's not time for Liam to do something, he doesn't do shit.
No,
he will literally turn around and watch the video screen.
Yes.
Until it's
or
time
just leave
to
the stage. He'll just leave. Yeah. We were walking back to the trek to get there. I went with my wife and my neighbor and we're walking there. And Los Angeles has been ridiculously hot.
Yes.
Especially for September. It's been like a heat wave. And so we're walking there. We're all fucking sweating. And everyone was like, what do you think they're, you know, what are you expecting? And I was like, well, Liam's going to come out wearing a parka. They're like, in this weather? And I'm like, the man has a uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be 100 degrees. He's going to come out in a parka.
You're going to see a parka. You're going to see a bucket hat at some point.
Yeah. And that's what he wore. Yeah.
I haven't seen that many bucket hats in, I don't know if ever.
You got to get into trail running. You'll see him.
It reminded me of a time I was doing a show at a hostel in Santa Monica. And there was a guy wearing a bucket hat in the audience. And I was like, sir, you're from the UK. And he goes, how did you know that? I was like, I haven't seen one of those hats since Oasis was famous in the United States. That's how I know that.
And that was Liam Gallagher.
Yeah, it was Liam. Yeah. Tougher times for Oasis then. They were staying in hostels when they were in
you know,
the U.S.
When the stink is off the rose, you know, you got to take it where you can get it. The day before the Rose Bowl show, some people posed with a guy in Runyon Canyon being like, we ran into Liam Gallagher. And to be honest, in those photos, it was just a guy with a parka and a bucket hat. I'm not certain it was Liam Gallagher, but these people post with photos with this guy. And that what really made it not feel like Liam Gallagher is that he had shorts on. And I'm like, I just can't picture Liam Gallagher in shorts.
Shorts and a parka?
Yes.
Yeah, I've never seen the bottom half of Liam Gallagher's legs.
I'm not sure he's not fully mechanical.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he might have Pistorius blades down there for all I know. No fucking clue.
Oh, I ain't got no legs, do I? I got them blades.
I'm super fast then.
That's what Supersonic is about. It's because he can run really fast because he's got the blades.
Yeah, that thing where, you know, people were like, oh, what are you expecting to hear? I don't know if people know this, but you can just look up the set list for any concert now. I mean, there's some bands that change it up a little bit, but with a tour this size, they're going to do pretty much a set list every night.
Oh, is it always the same?
Yeah.
So if we'd gone to both nights, we would have seen the same show?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Which, that's what I liked about Metallica doing two nights at SoFi, that they did completely different sets both nights. I loved that.
Yeah, that's cool.
But when that doesn't happen, if it's not even a huge tour, just like most tours, just Google that band set list and whatever year it is, and you're going to get the set list for whatever the last show was. And I feel like that makes planning easier, because if one of those encore songs is some shit you don't want to hear, you can fucking get out of there and beat the crowd. I did that when I saw Mariah Carey, because Hero by Mariah Carey, one of her biggest songs, I fucking hate it. She wrote it for Gloria Estefan. It sounds nothing like any of her other shit. It was just kind of a fluke hit, and she closes every show with it. So when I saw her, I was like, peace.
You fucking get out of here.
Yeah. And yeah. So my wife had the set list on her phone the whole time. So I was just leaning over like, oh, I'm playing that next night.
I definitely had songs I was hoping to hear, and Cast No Shadow was the one that I was really hoping to hear. Cause it's not really, I'd say, one of their well-known songs. Like, it wasn't a radio hit. But it's the song that, from their point of view and from their liner notes, is about Richard Ashcroft of The Verve. And I just love that song so much. And when they started it, I was like, holy shit, it's happening. This is happening for me. I'm getting the song I wanted.
I actually think that's the first time I've heard them play it.
Really?
I don't think I had heard them play that live before.
It's such a good song, too. It was just really great. It was such a fun experience. I think one of the reasons this many people is going out to see them is that Oasis does have these different windows of time that have touched people, you know, depending on whether you were into them in the 90s or you found them later, or there was a girl in the front row who was crying the whole time.
Sobbing. She looked very young.
Yeah, I think she was under 20. I think she was a teenager. Yeah. So I think mom and dad played these songs, and then she kind of became a super fan.
Yeah, and she found a little bit about her online.
Oh, yeah?
And it seems like that's the case, is her dad was way into Oasis. Kind of made me wonder if her dad's dead now.
Oh, that might be.
Yeah, because dad wasn't there. That's for sure.
No.
And Noel maybe, was like, look at this little scamp crying all the time, Dan. What's with you?
Yeah. This next song's dedicated to you. What's your name then? I can't hear you.
I don't know what you're saying then.
Yeah, they posted a photo of her on their account. Like, someone grabbed a photo of her.
They doxed her.
Yeah, they're like, here's where she lives. Here is her phone number. I even had a moment. I think they closed with Champagne Supernova and fireworks. Yeah. And it brought me back. I hadn't thought about this in 30 plus years. I was working a shitty job as a security guard, and we listened to that record a lot, and I befriended the other security guards, and we went snowboarding that winter, and we listened to the What's the Story Morning Glory record on the whole way up to the mountain. And it just, all of a sudden, I was like, oh my God, I'm 20 years old again, and I'm doing this dumb job, and I'm having this great moment, and I start crying. I'm like, oh, I'm in public, and I'm crying at the top of the Rose Bowl. But yeah, it was such a kind of emotional night to see all these different people who have their version of whatever that is, that where these songs are
Yeah.
The soundtrack to their life.
Yeah. I would say the only thing that was a little disappointing about the set list to me is that they didn't play much stuff from their later albums, which is understandable, but Oasis is one of my favorite bands. And I've said this before, until I was in my early 20s, I listened to nothing but rap and R&B music.
Which is why you love Oasis so much.
Well, here's the thing. It was Oasis and Nirvana both that, even when I was just listening to rap and R&B, I would hear both of those bands and be like, I secretly like that. I like that a whole lot. And so Oasis is one of the bands that got me into other music. And I've been a passionate Oasis fan for a long time. So the only reason the set list disappointed me is because I'm such a fan. So I wanted to hear shit like Lila from the Don't Believe the Truth album.
Mm.
And I wanted to hear fucking Force of Nature. I wanted to hear Stop Crying Your Eyes Out. But no one knows those fucking songs. Like, no one else wanted to hear them. So I get it.
I think we're going to get another round from the guys. I think they're going to keep going, or they're going to do, maybe they won't do as big a tour, but I feel like they're going to keep going.
Yeah. If they had done two nights and did what Metallica did, I would have gone both nights for sure.
I would go see them again for sure.
Yeah.
But I just hope it's not the Rose Bowl. Did you know that they were battling brothers that night that we went? It was Jonas Brothers at the Intuit and the Gallagher Brothers at the Rose Bowl, because a buddy of mine that I used to work with, he's a on-air DJ now. So he always is like offering me these top 40 tickets. He's like, do you want tickets to go see the Jonas Brothers? And I'm like, I got tickets to go see I've had these tickets for a year. I'm going to go see Oasis. But I had friends in town who had flown in just to see the Jonas Brothers. So wow. That was like a whole other fandom that I didn't even know was going on that night.
Well, that is another reason I'm glad Oasis didn't play SoFi.
Right?
Because we would have had the Jonas Brothers and Oasis in the same fucking park, basically.
Yeah, you'd have been like, there is, the entire city is here. There's no way to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. If people aren't familiar, SoFi in and of itself is a nightmare, but there is also not even walking distance, you can see all these places from SoFi. There is the Intuit Dome, the Forum, YouTube Theater, and they have no qualms about holding events at all of those places at the same time. Chaos. Fucking chaos.
So you have 250,000 people all going to the same part of the city, and it is not, again, not set up for that. Oh, if I can get on my get off my lawn a pedestal here, the parking, when you have to go to these things, if I had paid for actual Rose Bowl parking, it would have been upwards of $60 to as much as $200 just to park close to where the thing, Jeez. It would have been more to park than to see the band.
Yeah. Jeff went to Oasis on night two, and he and the friend he went with both found street parking.
Damn.
I have never been more jealous of hearing something in my life. That's nuts.
The street was in an entirely different city, but they were, it was free.
Yeah, I mean, technically, I found parking very easy. I just had to park in downtown Los Angeles.
It's true.
But otherwise, very easy.
Yeah. In terms of the set list, though, so you were let down that there weren't some of the like later records. But I remember, I think it was, you were surprised by Little by Little, right? You were said that, or you thought that was cool that they played that, right?
Little by Little, I found very surprising. I was surprised they played Cast No Shadow. And I was not only surprised that they played Talk Tonight, which is one of my favorite Noel songs, but I've only ever heard that as a solo acoustic. So I think it's got like a little piano on it too, but the studio version of that is just Noel and a guitar mostly. And this was like a full band arrangement.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. They did like a little Noel chunk. I don't know where Liam went. You know, it reminds us of back when we did the original series on this, where it was like, you know, Liam would just disappear for a few days at a time. They didn't know where he'd go. He was just roaming the streets of Pasadena for probably a good 20, 30 minutes while there was just a Noel chunk going on.
Yeah. I like that Noel chunk, though.
I did too.
Noel's got some fucking songs.
What's wild about these feuding brothers is how well their voices actually harmonize. For like,
yeah,
they will verbally and physically beat each other up, but when they actually sing together, their voices very much complement one another.
And they're so different.
They are.
I mean, they do kind of look alike if you stare at them long enough, but I wouldn't, if I just met them, I wouldn't immediately assume they're brothers, because I just kind of think everyone from England looks like them.
Yeah, and also too, you know, they just look like a couple of dudes who might thump you and take your purse. They just look like they might be one of the calf racers, the guys who have the motorcycles who just go from different cafe to cafe and beat up other cafe racers.
How do we get into that? That sounds fun.
I think we had to be teenagers in the mid 60s in England, okay. I think.
Okay.
We can bring you do that.
I'll try and bring
we could.
Back.
We could.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They look more like hooligans who hang together than people who are related to one another.
Yeah, but my complaints about the set list are minor. The only other, I don't even know if it's a complaint, but I was surprised they didn't play any covers, because they are an excellent covers band.
What covers are they known for?
Well, I think the most famous cover of theirs is I Am the Walrus by the
Oh, they
Beatles.
Did a little bit of that. They did a...
Oh, yeah, but they didn't...
They... Play yeah.
Song.
No, he chunked it into some end of some song. I forget which one it was.
No, it was, you're thinking of Octopus's Garden.
Good. Yeah, that's right. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember what song that is, but on the album, they do that at the end of that song too. But yeah, they didn't play any covers. And this is the first time I've seen them when they didn't. I've seen them play I Am the Walrus, and I've seen them play Helter Skelter a couple times.
Shocking that they're all Beatles songs. It's just so surprising to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a shocking piece of information, probably for everyone listening, but it's true. The Gallagher brothers love covering Beatles songs.
Yeah. You know, for a guy who would only talk about the Beatles for a big chunk of any time he would ever do an interview, or he would write the years that the Beatles were active on his hand and do that as part of photo shoots. Very surprising that this is the same band that would also like to cover the Beatles.
So yeah, no covers, but otherwise it was a great fucking show. It was
great.
So they fun.
Sounded wonderful. It awoke something in my wife that I was not expecting. She now seems to be a Oasis super fan, perhaps has a giant crush on Liam, which if you've ever seen me, like me and Liam Gallagher look almost identical. So it would make sense that she has a type.
It's the unibrow. It's that you both have just one.
Yeah.
Big, bushy British unibrow.
Big brow and bucket hats. It's what I'm known. Actually, I am known for a bucket hat these days. But yeah. And that and, well, I look like both Liams. I look like a cross between Neeson and Gallagher. That's what
I would say. So.
And what Payne I'm going for.
From yeah. What band was he in? One Direction? He's dead now.
Oh, yeah. I look like that version of him. The one that's currently.
The one that fell from way yeah, up in yeah, his hotel.
Yeah.
Fell to his death. Yeah. So the show was great. And then we had to get out of there.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever done this before. So where I parked, the guy, when we were parking, he was like, you have to be out of here by midnight. It was almost like some horror movie warning. Get the cars out of here by midnight or there'll be hell to pay. So the show ended at almost 11 on the dot. And I just remember looking at you and Angie and I was like, we have to go. And I just started running down the bleachers because I know how long it took me to walk here. I got to get back to the car and we barely fucking made it. So I didn't really get to visit with you that much. The show ended and I was like, I have to leave.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Well, because our plan, because we were so far back, was just, well, let's just sit and wait for the stadium
right.
to clear out a little. And what's funny is you had that sitch where you were like, nope, can't wait. I got to get the fuck out of here. And for 1 second, I was like, man, that sucks that Travis can't just wait until things get a little less chaotic. Then I looked at information to get on the train. The last train was at 12:04.
Oh, fuck.
So I was immediately like, nope, we got to get the fuck out of here too. But we figured out that if you walked further down our row, the steps going down were completely free. So we actually got out kind of fast.
That is wild. Whatever it is about that fucking venue, everybody just picks one lane and sticks to that lane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether it's going in or going out, they're just like, this is it.
Yeah. So we did get out of there pretty quick. We made it to the train. Fortunately, because it was the last train, they were holding it for as many people to show up
stragglers,
as they
yeah.
could, which definitely helped because it was confusing. We got there and the train literally said, do not board, and had like red X's everywhere. And we were like, can we get on this train? The guy was like, yeah, get on. Okay, that I guess makes sense. But getting back, once we got on that train, it was fine. But getting to that train, apparently there were people waiting up to 2 hours for the shuttle back to parking.
No.
So we just walked and it was about a 40-minute walk. And I wore the wrong shoes. I went form over function.
He had high heels on, stilettos,
yeah.
If I remember.
Yeah.
That's not the right move.
Sexy, yeah. But
you looked amazing, but it's just, that's not a distance shoe. No, yeah, it's not made for that. Yeah.
So yeah, we made the 40-minute trek back to the train station, and then it was fine. I mean, granted, we didn't get home until almost 2 a.m.
Yeah, I woke up to a text from you at like 2 a.m. You're like, we just got home, and I'm all, oh, fuck. That's gnarly. That ended up being like, what, not quite a 12-hour day. What would you say? That was like a 10-hour day for you from when you left to when you got back?
Yeah, we left
at 4, right?
We left at 3:30. We left as soon as the U.S. Open Women's Final ended. And we left at 3:30 and got back home around 2:00 in the morning.
Here's the wild thing, man. Again, I don't think I would go through another Rose Bowl thing. I had my own version of what you went through. But I loved the show so much that I kind of secondarily now think about, oh, for that day, going to the Oasis show was my job. That was like my whole fucking day.
Yeah. 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 I mean, for the right band, I would go see another show at the Rose Bowl, but it's got
to
be.
It would have to be a Nirvana reunion with the clone of Kurt Cobain.
You know, or
a resurrected Kurt Cobain, for that matter.
I know we've made a point to talk about it a bunch, but I really cannot stress enough how hard it is getting to and from events in LA. When I had initially bought tickets to see Shakira, she was at the Forum. And I was like, oh, that's fine. The Forum is pretty easy. I've seen a bunch of shows there. And then she moved it to SoFi. And I was like, no, I am not doing that again. So I fucking went to Vegas to see Shakira instead of putting up with seeing her at SoFi. And I probably still got in and out faster.
I was going to say, I was like, I'm not even making a joke here. I bet you going to Vegas, seeing that, even if you flew out there, did it and flew back home, I think that would be faster than doing a local show and driving and parking and trying to leave.
Yeah. It's nuts. It's nuts. I won't go to a baseball game at Dodger Stadium. I'll go to Angel Stadium in Anaheim because that's easy as shit. But LA, oh, this might actually only be the second worst getting to a concert experience ever, because Portugal the Man was at Bank of California Stadium, which I think is BMO Stadium now. And they were opening for, God, I always forget their fucking name, Mumford and Sons. And me and Jeff both took separate Ubers. I ended up getting there so late, Portugal the Man had already went on and was done. Jeff had to get out of his Uber on the fucking freeway and walk up the exit ramp to get to the stadium, because there are just no roads that lead to it that aren't just regular ass commercial roads. It's nuts here. God damn. Why do we live here? What are we doing?
I don't know. What are we doing? What are we doing with our lives? Let's go to Ventura. Ventura is great. You can see all kinds of shows in Ventura.
Let's do it.
There's places you can stay. You can just walk down the street and it's a concert venue.
Yeah. I would say even San Francisco is easier because they have a very robust public transport system.
Well, yeah. And that's also, you could put multiple San Franciscos inside LA County.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the sprawl of LA that just kills you. The sprawl and the planning.
Yeah. I wrote a cracked article when I first moved to California because I lived in San Francisco first. And I wrote a cracked article about getting my first medical marijuana card.
Oh, welcome to those sort of things. Yeah.
I walked to the doctor and to the weed store after that. Pretty significant walk. The whole process still took less time than it took for me to get home from the Rose Bowl.
Adam is actually calling in. He's in the back of an Uber right now. You're on your way home from the Rose Bowl.
I'm almost home. I'm almost home from the Rose Bowl.
This is a lot like when the pioneers would be like, I'm have to cross the Rockies. You know, you're like, okay, it's going to be treacherous and there's going to, you know, you have to take extra wagon wheels and
see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's that kind of thing. And also too, you may lose some of your party. Who you leave with may not be who you arrive with, you know?
Yeah. It just really blows my mind that people are going to the Rose Bowl regularly. I cannot.
We considered going to night two.
Oh yeah.
Because again, Brandy is now a super fan. She bought a $10 shirt from a street vendor that says Oasis on it. She's not taking that shirt off. Like that's what she wears now. I half expect one time the phone to ring and I'm going to pick up and go, hello. And she's like, oi, it's Brandy there. I'm like, yeah, who's it? Oh, it's Liam, isn't it? And I'm like, I don't know. What are you doing? Why are you calling me?
Yeah, I don't know. Just the fact that they're playing the same set list is the only thing that would have stopped me from going both nights. But other than that, I would have thought of it.
You know, yeah, that is surprising. I guess that would have been not disappointing because it was a fun night. I would have probably enjoyed it. But I think about a band like Fugazi who used to play three or four nights in a row when they would tour. They would poll the audience. They'd go, who was here last night? Yay. Who was here the first night? Yay. Who was here the night after? Yay. And they'd go, fuck. All right. And they would try and think of what else can we play so that every night was different depending on when you went. So that would be cool if they did that. I mean, maybe that'll be, you know, the Alive 26, isn't it, tour that they do or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I got to think they're going to keep going.
I wonder if we're going to get a new album.
They claim they aren't.
Right. They also claimed they weren't going to get back together, too.
I know. That was one thing I did understand that Liam said at the very end of the show when he rested his tambourine on his head so it made...
Yeah, I have a picture
like
of that.
A halo around it is great. He thanked all of us for being fans. He's like, I'll be the first one to admit it's been hard to support us at times.
What a moment of honesty from old Liam.
I know. It was like, whoa, you are self-aware. You're not. And you know what else it made me think of? When I read Mark Lanegan's book, because he and Liam got into it. They got into it.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, when Screaming Trees were touring, they were playing a show with Oasis, and I'm pretty sure it was Liam who said, oh, what's the name of your band? Like Howling Bushes or something like that. Being Liam funny, which now that you like, I've experienced Liam more, you know, in person and not in print, you're like, he's just taking the piss, isn't it? Like, he's just having fun. And Mark Lanegan just took it like a fucking massive insult and held a grudge for 20 years and then wrote a book about it and then basically said Liam was a piece of shit or something like that. Liam saw it and was basically like, oi, you fucking has been, started calling. And I love Mark Lanegan, but he starts being super Liam about it. And then Mark Lanegan, as opposed to being like, hey, we're a couple of 50-year-olds fighting about something that happened in like 97. He's like, I'll fucking kick your ass.
Aw, don't be that way.
I know. And so I don't know. I think Liam is hilarious. I just think he's super fucking funny.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great front man. I remember I used to have a Ryan Adams bootleg from when he played a solo acoustic show at this very small venue in Minneapolis called 7th Street Entry, which is actually in the basement of First Avenue where Purple Rain was filmed. Very famous venue. He was telling a bunch of stories in between songs. And he tells this story about being at a show one night where Oasis and Beck were both on the bill. It was like a big festival thing. And he's like, and I'm backstage. I got the sunglasses on. I'm just all decked out. And next thing I know, Liam Gallagher comes around the corner and just starts talking to me like we've known each other forever. And he goes, and finally I realized he thinks I'm Beck. He has mistaken me for Beck, and he's just talking. He was like, I just went with it and pretended I was Beck for a little bit.
I heard Liam tell this amazing story. I think it was on a British talk show. Here's what I love about it. First of all, he's going, oi, what's that naked chef? What's that guy's name? What's that geezer's name? Jamie Oliver, right? So he goes, he doesn't even remember Jamie Oliver's name. All he remembers is Jamie Oliver lived above this pub he liked to go to. So he'd go to the pub, drink all night, and then come out and go, oi, oi, why don't you throw down some sausage rolls? He would basically heckle Jamie Oliver to the point that Jamie Oliver moved. And then he's telling this story and being like, oh, I'm kind of a prick, ain't I? And but also being like, doesn't even remember the guy's name.
That's great. Yeah, Liam is a character. He is a fucking character.
Is he the one that got hammered the music into him, or Noel got the music hammered?
Liam's the one who got hit in the head with a hammer and came out the other end knowing how to perform music somehow, which maybe we should try it.
Yeah.
Let's hit someone in the head with a hammer and see if they start rocking.
I volunteer Andy.
That's a great idea.
I think that he would love that.
Yeah, because Andy famously doesn't play any instruments or anything now. So we
and is always like, guys, I feel like if I just got hit in the head with a hammer, things would kind of go my way.
Andy, what do you think? He is so bitter.
Yeah.
God damn, Andy. God damn, D.
God damn, D. You know, it's a pity that I know for a fact Syphilis Bear would hit Andy with a hammer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Andy, I just want to hit you with a hammer. I'll hug you and hammer you, and then you'll have the music in you.
Andy? Okay.
Ah, that's a yes.
Oh, that was my Andy. That was bad.
That was good. No, that sounded exactly like Andy. Now you just need to tell me what social cause I need to get behind, and that's Andy.
So do we have any final thoughts on Oasis at the Rose Bowl? I fucking loved it.
I fucking loved it, despite us whinging, as the Brits like to say, about the process to get there. They made it worth it. They made it absolutely 100%. What's wild to me is that, you know, I did buy those tickets for us close to a year, if not a year ago, and they've just been sitting in my like Ticketmaster account all this time. And every time I'd, you know, go to other shows, it would be like, Oasis coming up, Oasis coming up. And it was like, that fucking happened. It just felt like this thing that was just always in the distance. And the next thing I knew, it happened.
Yeah.
And
it kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah.
I had not forgotten, but it was just in the back of my mind, like, oh yeah, we're seeing Oasis someday. And then next thing I know, it's like, that's 4 days. From like, now.
I know you text, you're like, I think it's this weekend. I'm like, oh fuck, you're right.
Imagine if we just missed it.
Yeah. Oh shit. I meant to tell you. We were supposed to go to that.
Oh, I had a WNBA game that night. God damn it. I did have to go to a WNBA game the very next day. And, oh, man, I was not in a moving around downtown L.A. mood, but
it was definitely an adventure. And as somebody who frequently goes to the top of mountains, I will say that was good training for getting to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I've been working out pretty regularly over the past year or so, and I was very thankful for that when I made it to my seat. Because I don't know if I would have made it this time last year.
Yeah, there were some people that I was like your buddy, the guy who's like, we had Bowie and how did he get up there?
Did a helicopter bring you?
I don't know. He was not a young man and he was not a slight man. Like, it seemed like that was a lot of.
And the other thing I hated about the steps, there was no railing.
Yeah, that was wild. So it was like, I hope I keep my balance the whole time because I have no other option.
Yeah, I would argue that the getting in and out was the only kind of bummer about the show. Everything else was great. The show was fucking great. Band sounded great. I didn't deal with the concessions much, but I had a pizza. No,
the concessions felt like a nightmare. And I will say that the Oasis merchandise, it was fine in terms of the price, but it just felt like an afterthought. Like someone just went, give me a Helvetica font. And I'm going to write Rose Bowl on it and send print that.
The bootleg shirts were way better. They were better, yeah. And I would have bought one if I didn't have such an aversion to white t-shirts. But when I first got off the train, there was someone selling bootleg Oasis shirts. In one of them, it said Oasis, and then the picture was just the cast of the Great British Baking Show.
That's amazing.
I want to find that shirt.
That's amazing.
I used to have a Nirvana shirt.
With Hanson?
With Hanson.
That's great. There's been a trend with the knockoff merchandise where they have scarves, but like fully knitted scarves. Like, what you would wear if you supported a soccer team in another country. So I want to know, you know, I've seen this multiple times now where bands that I'm like, I don't know if these are scarf wearers, buddy. You come out and the people got like Melvin's knitted scarves. And I'm like, you're just going to have 100 of those in your closet. I don't know what you're going to do with them.
Yeah. I have a Portugal the Man scarf that is somewhere around my house because I'm in LA. Like sometimes it's jacket weather in LA, but it is never scarf weather in LA.
I went to see Death from Above 79 in Pioneer Town in Joshua Tree.
God, I love that band. Go on.
They're great. But it was so fucking cold that a bunch of Canadians on stage went, what the fuck is going on here? And I just started buying merchandise because I was so cold. I was like, I'll take that and I'll take that. And I got home and I was like, the sweatshirt's green. I just was buying it in the dark because I was freezing.
Yeah. I signed up for an LA Times subscription once because I was at an LA Kings game and it was super cold and I wanted the free sweatshirt.
Sure. Whatever you want, man.
Yeah. 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 Send me fucking LA Times for 8 weeks. Just give me
the sweatshirt.
Just give me the shirt. And I still have that Kings sweatshirt.
But you don't have that subscription.
No. Yeah. Bummer.
You got what you needed.
So I think that's our episode, right?
Yeah.
We did it. Travis, thank you so much for going to Oasis with me.
Dude, thanks so much for going with me. It was a lot of fun. And I know you're a super fan, so it was fun to hear your take in the moment and now also talking with you about all the other times you've seen them. And yeah, it was a special show. I'm glad I got to share it with you.
Yeah, it was great. It's definitely the best Oasis show I've seen, just for all the reasons, like the size of the crowd, the venue. It was great. It was great.
Yeah, when 90,000 people are singing fucking Wonderwall. Holy shit.
Yeah. And yeah, for a band to, you're right, it sounded like the record, but better.
Yeah.
Because I think in a venue that big, their sound has more room to breathe. And
but they're so tight that the music is there, but then there's the ebb and flow of how they're singing it. And, you know, I don't know. It was great. It was just a great time.
Go see Oasis if you ever have a chance, everybody.
Yeah. And apparently, they didn't do this at our show, but apparently in other places, especially overseas, during cigarettes and alcohol, they turn their back and jump up and down. Like they turn, it's like some soccer thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, but apparently that's a thing. So if you go to see Oasis and all of a sudden everybody starts turning their back on the band, it's actually part of it.
I used to be way into bootleg concerts and things, like trading bootlegs. And one of the things that used to drive me nuts was when bands would play anywhere in Europe, there would just be some songs where the entire audience would start clapping along.
Yeah.
It's like, stop it. I don't want that. I want to hear the song. I don't want to hear you clapping. One of my favorite live music moments ever, Bruce Springsteen has a Live from Madison Square Garden album, and he plays a song called 21 Shots, which is about a police shooting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at the beginning of the song, everyone's like clapping, and he just goes, actually, I need you to be quiet. It was great.
They just That's stopped. Why he's called the boss.
He's the boss. If he tells you to be quiet, you be quiet.
Shut the fuck up.
So I think that's our episode. We Indeed. Did it. Travis, again, thank you for going to the show. What do we have to plug before we get out of here?
Follow me on Threads. I guess that's what I'm doing now. So Track Rivals on Threads.
Follow Travis on Threads. Hey, maybe the network will be on Threads because we're back on all the social medias, even the Nazi ones, because, hey, I'm not going to let the Nazis chase us away from Twitter. Why not?
Oh, you're back on that one?
The network is.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha.
So you can follow the network at You Don't Pod on Twitter, Instagram, fucking Facebook, anywhere else. Yeah, Blue Sky. Maybe Blue Sky. Threads too. Hey, man,
like, I really love the people I interact with on Blue Sky, but I just get no traction on Blue Sky.
Yeah, it's not great. I had a great tweet about Trump issuing an executive order to bring supersizing back at McDonald's, and it got nothing on Blue Sky.
Oh, Blue Sky.
Yeah. So yeah, follow us on Blue Sky. Why not?
Yeah, why not? I'm Travis Clark on Blue Sky. I'm there.
And that's it. Let's get the fuck out of here. Travis, say goodbye.
Oi, mates. See you next time when your kid be jumping up and down with a tambourine, isn't it?
Goodbye, everybody. We fucking love you, cunts.
Fucking love you.